when Joseph found that Mary was pregnant, he was told by an angel in a dream, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. And this means much more than just pardon for our sins. Because of the wages of sin, we are thankful to Jesus for having taken those wages for us. But his cross did a lot more than provide forgiveness. His cross procured our fulfillment in life. Our fulfillment. Not just our forgiveness, but our fulfillment in life. A life of kingdom living. And the text that I've chosen to end this last sermon on the Christmas Carol about the transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge is John 10, 9 and 10. Just two verses. Jesus said this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And in some translations, abundant living. Life more abundant. We couldn't have spiritual life without his payment for our penalty, the penalty for our sins. But his cross went beyond that for a paving the way. It was like he was paving the way for life abundant, life more abundant, life to the full, by paying for the deliverance of the power of sin, paying for our deliverance from the power of sin. God's focus in salvation is not on trespasses. God's focus in salvation is on transformation. That's his goal. That letting us know about our trespasses, that's important because it helps to start the change of heart. But what he's after is complete transformation. A life, a new life that is life to the full, life abundant. Kingdom living. Well, the title represents or it illustrates what this is about. Because it says the transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge. The transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge illustrates God's goal in salvation. The work of the three ghosts was not to get Scrooge to feel sorry or to ask for pardon. I need pardon. No, the goal of the three ghosts that came was so that he would say, I need change. Not just pardon. I need change. And that's what this whole thing of salvation in God's mind is about. Mourning a lost past, or confessing a sinful present, or fearing a hellish future. Those are things that can either bring despair or they can bring hope, depending on how we receive or how we respond to Advent, Christ's coming. The proof of Scrooge's transformation was seen in his transformed response to the coming of Christmas Day, and in a sense to Advent, to the coming of Christ. Symbolically, his life changed, and those changes illustrate something in three different ways. They illustrate this abundant life, or this life to the full, this kingdom living. They do it in three ways: by childlikeness, by charitableness, and by Christlikeness. The first of these, he had a rebirth of childlikeness. I don't know what to do, cried Scrooge, laughing and crying in the same breath. I don't know anything. I'm like a baby. Never mind, I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Yeah, that sounds like new birth. Childish minds are hard to teach. But childlike minds easily are instructed. And that's why Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Life to the full is open to God. It's hungry for instruction and guidance. It wants God to teach. Now, why does God call us children? I mean, from the time we're little until we're really old, He calls us children. Why is that? Well, it's because God knows that we never outgrow our need for His fatherly instruction, His fatherly guidance. Scrooge was leaving behind a childish, immature pride of knowledge for the childlikeness and openness and teachability that is supposed to be a part of true human nature. Scrooge exclaimed, I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. Now, the old Scrooge would scorn all that kind of talk as a humbug. That's how the old Scrooge would look at that. But his new self was celebrating with uninhibited joy. In fact, one of the movies had him dancing with his housemaid. You know, had him grab his housemaid and dance around, and she was just surprised at everything. But he didn't care what she thought. She didn't care what she thought of his behavior. God never created sourpusses. He did not create one sourpuss. Did you know that? God never did that. The thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, He created sourpusses, but not God. Unrestrained displays of joyous happiness, emotional joy, or spiritual delight, those were meant to be by God. God meant those things to be. When God sees us giddy with joy, He probably says, now that's more like it. Really, I think God wants us to be that way. More like what? Like the children that He created. Like the children He made us to be, enjoying life to the full by a new birth into kingdom living. Once Scrooge ignored people's opinions of him, you know, because he ignored people. But now he'd become unself-conscious, forgetting himself before people like his maid in a childlike way. And that childlikeness is one degree of change. But it's also the beginning of another, because that life child change also leads us to caring for people. And that is through the second point of charitableness, a renewal of charitableness. Well, what Scrooge said next was, a Merry Christmas to everybody, a Happy New Year to the whole world. Kingdom living helps us to enjoy both things and people in a new way, in a divinely joyful attitude. When he heard the church bells, he ran to the window, and he opened the window and said, golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet fresh air, merry bells, oh glorious, glorious. His attitude towards things had changed. Living a life to the full turns a humbug viewpoint into an appreciation for creation and a joy, even in little things. You know, he was leaving, he looked at his door knocker, and he cried, I shall love it as long as I live. He patted it with his hand. I scarcely ever looked at it before. What an honest expression it has on its face. It's a wonderful knocker. A little thing like that. But there's joy in little things. And, you know, he sees his eyes have been changed too. His eyes, the eyes of a life more abundant, see people in a new way. When he opened the window and saw the boy in the street, he said, an intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. What a delightful boy, said Scrooge. It's a pleasure to talk to him. That's a different Scrooge, isn't it? That is. But praise never hurts people. Praise doesn't hurt people. Giving praise to people doesn't hurt them. But it does help sanctify our attitude toward them. And sometimes that attitude needs to be sanctified. So we need to praise people more. In kingdom living, self-love is not the motivation. Self-love is not the motive behind charitableness. Loving charity is shown without show. It doesn't want to boast itself, you know. The large church that Scrooge sent to the Cratchit family was sent anonymously. He did not say, "And Scrooge sent this." That would bring glory to himself. No, he just wanted to have them have a good time. And then when he met that man in the street, the relief fund solicitor that he had rebuffed the day before, he whispered in his ear the amount that he was going to pledge. And it surprised the man. It was so much. He said, "I got a lot of back payments." Yeah. Well, that unconsciousness, that idea of self out of the picture, that is what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 1. Our sixth verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Well, God is not asking us to repair our past, or to fix our errors, or to undo our sin. He's not asking that. We couldn't do that if we tried. His focus isn't on trespasses. It's on transformation. God wants His children back. God wants His children back on track with childlike teachability and with loving charity. He created us to experience those things. His love can transform us to have them. And He wants to rebuild something else in our lives, and that is a reputation of Christ-likeness. A reputation of Christ-likeness. The three spirits brought Scrooge what God's Spirit brings us. Those three spirits were symbolic of God's Spirit, and they brought to Scrooge what God, through His Spirit, brings to us, and that is a conviction and a warning. A conviction and a warning. But regret itself, wasn't the goal in the Dickens story, and it's not the goal of the Spirit of God in our story. God wants to find us to find a new perspective through Christ. He wants us to find a new perspective on life through Christ. As Scrooge found it through Christmas. He wants us to change. And God's focus isn't religious. Now that sounds weird. God's focus isn't religious. It's not. It's relational. It's relational. Relationship to God and relationship to others. That are the two big things that Jesus said the whole law hangs on. Loving others and loving God. And that's so important. We see that focus is relational. Scrooge left his home. And he was hurrying to and fro, and he patted children on the head. He questioned beggars. He looked down the kitchen and houses and up the windows, and he found that everything could yield him pleasure. Just the very fact that people in the street could yield him pleasure. It was a life abundant. It was a new way of looking. And then it says that he went to church, and then he walked about the streets. Did you know that in the whole story of A Christmas Carol, this is the only mention of church? You know, well, no, there was a time when the Cratchits, the boy, they were coming back from church. But this is Scrooge, and he went to church, but the focus was not at church. The focus was out in the community. Jesus spent less time in the synagogue than he did with people and with his Father. You know, what Christmas does for us, or what church does for us, coming, meeting together like this, hearing sermons, and singing together, what that can do is nurture the love that God wants to be manifested in our lives. But where is it to be manifested? It's to be manifested out to others, outside of this building, outside of this room, out to everyone around us in our lives. And that's a lot more than just Sunday morning, isn't it? And that's why it's not a focus on a religious focus. It's a relational focus that God has for us, our transformation. And it's really, when we think about that nurturing of our love for others, God is one of those others. When we come together, it should nurture our relationship with people around us and also with God, that we'll love Him more deeply as we leave the church. Repentance for trespasses can be very private. But transforming renewal was not meant to be private. It was meant to be public. People should see the Christ-likeness within us. People will talk. They should talk. People will talk at the name of a movie. People will talk. People should talk about us. Hey, he really has the Christmas spirit. Yeah, because he's talking about Christ all the time. Well, Scrooge's nephew witnessed the transformation in his uncle. When Scrooge shows up for the Christmas dinner celebration, he's all happy and everything. Bob Cratchit, the day after Christmas, he was surprised. He was actually shocked. It was incredible the change that happened in Scrooge. Why? He was giving him a raise in salary for being late. And then the whole town became so familiar with the new transformed Scrooge that it was said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. God's focus in salvation isn't on trespasses. It is not on trespasses. You know, if that's all we talked about, sin, hell, everything that goes along with sin and death and all that kind of stuff, that would not be good news. The real good news is transformation. After his last vision, Scrooge repeated, as he scrambled out of his bed, this is at the beginning of the last chapter, he scrambled out of his bed, "I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and Christmas time, be praised for this. I say it on my knees, old Jacob, I say it on my knees." And you know what? That's how it begins. That's how it begins. It begins on our knees. You know, it begins on our knees, repenting of our past, and then changing our present, and then welcoming a future that is made hopeful. How is it made hopeful? By Christmas time? Yes, by Christmas time, if we see Advent, Christmas, as the coming of the Savior, coming of Jesus. Jesus who, as it says here, will save His people from their sins. That is truly the goal God has, to save us from our sins. God knows that pardon for past sins will not stop our present sinning. Listen to that. Forgiveness for sins, which all of us seek, will not stop our present sinning. It won't. Oh, we may be grateful to God and say, "I don't want to do that anymore." Well, will that stop us? No. Transformation will stop us from sinning. And God is about that. He wants to stop the present sinning. And that's why His ultimate goal is to transform us with this abundant life, this life of kingdom living. I was thinking about this in the last of the Narnia books. I don't know, some of you don't know, haven't read. I've read the books of Narnia. There are seven of them. I've read them about seven times, I'm sure. Or more than that, sometimes out loud to my children. And so some of these things stuck in my mind. But I think C.S. Lewis, when he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and wrote this last one, he captured in this phrase that Aslan the lion said to the children when they had arrived in this new life which was really heaven, but they didn't know it yet. And here's what he said. You do not yet look as happy as I mean you to be. You do not yet look as happy as I mean you to be. And you know what? Jesus means us to be happy. He means us to have the same divine happiness that He Himself enjoys and has enjoyed eternally. I come, Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And with that blessed, fulfilling, transforming, abundant life, that life to the full, with that life, as Tiny Tim observed, with that life, God bless us, everyone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, what a story this has been. And what a wonderful, wonderful unfolding the story has with Scripture and Your intention for us to change us. Change is possible. Thank you for sending me along that movie. That was a very violent movie and wasn't very Christmassy at all, but that one part of it about people can change. People can change. And it had it in the movie that people change, just like it has it in the story that people change. Just like it has it in your mind as you devise the gospel, not just to get sins out of the way, but to take care of the sinner, to take care of the sin process, the sin manufacturer, and change the factory into a factory of righteousness. Lord God, thank You for sending Jesus to save us from our sins and our sinning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.